Welcome to the History Geeks podcast channel. For today's episode, we will be discussing the topic, the evolution of religion in Africa and the subsequent socio-cultural changes following the adoption of Christianity and Islam. I'm your host, Khairun Hussein, and in this piece, we will delve into the section of African history before colonialism to explore the evolution of religion in Africa and further look at how this has shaped the continent's cultural identity. With this in mind, the timeline for this podcast will be relatively thematic rather than chronological. We will first consider each respective religious evolution in Africa, but in the context of the African traditional religion. We will also evaluate and further argue that the two primary religions following the African traditional religion have shifted and impacted the continent's cultural identity overall through changes in practices, belief systems, and cultural artifacts. Through this analysis, we're going to consult a number of different secondary sources to inform our understanding, and the general outline of this podcast will be divided into three main parts. The first part is when we're going to just consider the African traditional religion and how it was practiced, and then the second part, we're going to look at the origin and the spread of Christianity as well as its implications, and in the final part, we're going to also discuss and consider the origin and the spread of Islam in the continent as well as its implications and how the general implications for both of these religions play out. Unlike other religions imported into the continent with a distinct period of adoption, the African traditional religion was an indigenous practice that was practiced across Africa for an extended period of time. The religion consisted primarily of worshipping a supreme being and other deities. There were various divinities that also served as intermediaries or a link between the supreme being and the society, which carried messages across. In some communities, spirits were generally separated into malevolent spirits, such as Ebiku, and benevolent spirits, such as the ancestors. There were also ancestral rites and beliefs that played an important role in the African traditional religion, as they served to a link between the living. The religion is primarily based on several belief systems and ideas expressed in various ways throughout African culture. For example, the most common expression may be through the traditional medicine and magic, which played an important role in the practice of the religion. Traditional medicine involved using natural substances to prevent or treat diseases, while magic was often relied upon as a defensive or preventative measure to protect a community or person against evil spirits. Not only did the religion include a set of beliefs and practices, but it also influenced social and political identity reflected across various African culture and community. For example, practices within the African traditional religion often valued and relied on communal practices such as rites, which reflected the general African attitude towards the significance of community and communal values. In such settings, various expressions were engaged as a community, such as through offerings, or prayers, or rituals, or music, or art that were often done together. These activities were also used as a means of communicating with the spirits and often took place in sacred places such as shrines. The diviners or the spirit mediums were not the only ones who led the practices. State leaders and kings often also incorporated religions into their processions, which shows how religion was embedded deeply within the African tradition and culture. The practices were also shaped by the climate and the economic organizations of various communities within the continent. Given agriculture's significant role, farmers used various practices to account for different issues such as droughts or low yields in the crops. Throughout the continent, we further see evidence of the link between the type of economic system practiced and the structure of society or politics and government. For example, in hunter-gatherer societies, forms of communistic practices were used through the establishment of large centralized kingdoms where monarchs were ruled. There also existed a number of what may be referred to as stateless or chiefdom communities, which had a lot of different chiefs that were scattered across different regions, such as the Nuer and the Dinka in South Sudan. The nature of the African traditional religion as an oral religion rather than a script-based practice that relies on scripture and other structured approaches such as Christianity and Islam really affected its dissemination. The religion was spread and practiced orally through storytelling and functioned as a belief system. As such, the practices and religion were not standard and deviated across various different ethnic groups and communities. This also represented an issue in preserving and maintaining the religion, which may have ultimately contributed to its decline when other religions such as Christianity and Islam emerged into the continent. Throughout its practice, the African traditional religion has experienced both internal and external challenges that have impacted its development in the region. For example, the oral culture, which meant that a lack of written documents or recordings, meant that there would be a strong reliance on oral tradition to preserve and spread religious knowledge and practices. While there were also external challenges, which were generally related to external intervention and contact, such as through foreign influences through slave trade or the missionary activity. Overall, the traditional African religion encompassed several practices that were essential to the community's cultural identities. And this meant that a belief or practice could be expressed at every stage of life, such as through birth, naming, or sacred streams, marriage customs, or burial ceremonies as well. The religious practices of the religion greatly shaped the cultural identity of Africans, and the shift in religions later on impacted this cultural identity over time. All right, in this section, we're going to consider Christianity as well as its origin, its spread, and the overall implications on cultural identity. So, Christianity emerged in the continent around the 1st century AD, and it later became a widely practiced religion. The religion is believed to have first spread in northern Africa with Mark the Apostle in 60 AD in Alexandria, Egypt. Mark is believed to have spread Christianity in Alexandria and later served and stayed there as a bishop. However, it's important to note that Christianity was not limited to the northern African region, and there were other regions as well, such as Nubia and Sudan and Ethiopia, which were strong footholds of the religion. Missionary work was in general a very important means that fostered the early spread of Christianity during this period, and also there were cases such as what is referred to as the Nine Saints, which were a group of Syrian missionaries who had worked to spread Christianity in the region. For example, in Ethiopia, the king of Aksum, who had learned of Christianity through a Syrian missionary, later adopted Christianity as the state religion during the 4th century AD. There may have also been other factors that scholars believe may have influenced King Azana's conversion, including the improvement of trading relations with Christian empires, such as the Roman Empire. We can also start to see some of the ways in which Christianity began to impact the Ethiopian political and economic space through King Azana's establishment of the Christian crosses on the coins. Further, a number of sociocultural changes are reflected in the architecture of King Aksum, which features basilicas and other architectural designs. With this adoption, Ethiopia maintained its Christian background for an extended period of time and held on to the beliefs even during the later spread of Islam. The spread of Islam in the 7th century slowed the conversion of Christianity in Africa. However, a new wave of conversion and changes occurred in the sub-Saharan Africa during the 15th century. Here, Portuguese and European missionaries and their subsequent missionary work worked to establish Christian communities across various regions. Throughout the spread and establishment of Christianity, many African communities still practiced and held on to their indigenous African traditional religion. As such, it's important to note the relation between the context of the two religions and how the adoption of Christianity may have impacted the overall cultural identity. As discussed in the previous section, the traditional African religion played a large role in various African communities. I mean, it was integral to their way of life. It shaped their perspectives, and the diversity in which the religion was practiced across various ethnic groups reflected the respective identities and belief systems. So therefore, as a monotheistic religion, many of the beliefs that were held by African communities were viewed to be in opposition to Christian values of serving God and the disregard for superstitions and other ideals. On the other hand, some scholars have further argued that Africans had maintained their agency during the reception of Christianity, and that this was evident in the way in which various communities and regions had engaged with the religion by adapting and molding it into their pre-existing beliefs. Some other scholars have further argued that the African traditional religion and Christianity had a reciprocal relationship, and what this basically meant was that the influence was both of them on each other. And this would mean that each respective religion had imparted its ideals with other ideals through a process that would be termed as religious syncretism. Here, syncretism is defined in the dictionary as the practice of combining different beliefs and various schools of thoughts, and we can see how this works in different ways. In the 15th century, we could see some of the ways in which religious syncretism occurred in regions such as Ghana during the Roman Catholic influence, and later in the 18th century with the Igbo peoples in Nigeria. What has often occurred is that the adoption of naming ceremonies, such as when there was a baptism, would occur, but then the ceremony itself may have influences from the African traditions. A further example is the use of music and songs, which was held religious significance in the religion due to the fact that music was viewed as a means to communicate and channel with the spiritual realm. Here, traditional music, dance, and other instruments used in the traditional religion were used in the practice of Christianity alongside it. At times, this culture is also reflected even in the art and architecture within the churches, wherein there were displays of various African symbols and traditions that were displayed alongside the Christian symbols. While the adoption of religions such as Christianity in various regions often included and was referred to as a process called Africanized Christianity, there were still a number of ways in which the different values and belief systems had conflicted and caused tensions that later altered the socio-cultural perception and development of African communities. In pre-colonial Nigeria, traditional African religion was integrated socially, culturally, and politically. As one article states, the political power was seen as a sacred trust exercised for the common good of society. As such, the traditional religion was also used to resolve disputes and maintain peace and order. So then what basically happened here is that in this integration, the religious figures would later serve to ensure that the political leaders were also aligned with the community values and that they did not deviate from these values. So what happens here is that in this community-based organization, such as in Nigeria, if an Alafin was corrupt and they did not use their power correctly, then the chief's council of the Ogboni society would later have the right to remove them. And depending on the specific ethnic group, religious beliefs and political structures differed, and the religion played a really large role also in the justice system. Some African leaders were believed to hold spiritual abilities and powers from the gods, who would provide and grant them with the authority and legitimacy in ruling between conflicts and disputes. As such, the general African traditional religion played a really large role in the social order and cohesivity of various communities, with beliefs such as divine punishment that was often used to scare others from engaging in non-communal behaviors or behaviors that went against the rules or regulations for the community. Now, if we look back and we consider Christianity, one way in which Christianity impacted the sociocultural relations of various communities was through the adoption of scriptural-based texts and religion that differed from the traditional oral practices. Given the significance of oral traditions and practices, I would argue that this shift towards the written text made it so that the Christian missionaries did not really give the oral culture the same significance. And what happens is that this impacted what scholars later referred to as the overall oral culture. And the overall oral culture was a culture that included traditional storytelling and other narratives that were used to pass on knowledge. So, besides the general oral culture changes, there were also a lot of other different impacts, such as the impact towards practices that were central to African traditional religion that was later changed and adopted to Christianity. The differences in both belief systems meant that there existed some history of tension and conflict that came along with various missionaries' attempts to impose Western values and ideals on African communities. A notable example may be the practice of polygamy, which had occurred for a long time in several regions in the continent. However, with the adoption of Christianity, polygamy was not allowed, and there was later a shift or a move to a more monogamous society. Other conflicts also included practices such as the traditional medicine and herbalists, to whom a general lack of understanding for the African traditional religion by the missionaries made them view the practices as demonic influences or being primitive. Many African traditional practices such as rainmaking ceremonies and others were integral to agricultural practices as well. Ancestor worshipping or bride prices were also discouraged by the missionaries as they're considered to be deviations from the Christian tradition. Hence, While the early Christian missionaries did bring about some social changes in various African communities through the establishment of schools, clinics, and other facilities, we can also see and evaluate the ways in which these social changes had also impacted the overarching culture through the establishment of Christianity, with whom, despite some scholars' claim that it was Africanized and adopted, it's also important to consider that there were aspects of the cultural identity that shifted and changed following the adoption of the religion that would never be recovered again. In this section, we're going to work to shift our focus onto Islam, which is the next impactful religion to emerge in the continent after Christianity. Now, Islam is believed to have been established in Africa around the 17th century AD, and early Islam is also believed to have spread across various regions in a number of different ways. So one way might have been through economic trade with merchants who connected through different trade routes. Besides trade, there were also intermarriages that occurred, conquest, missionary work as well. And these all worked to spread the religion. The religion had further spread beyond North Africa to East and West African regions. In the 14th century, Muslim traders visited Nigeria, which is how Islam was later introduced in that area. Like Christianity, African leaders were also involved in converting their communities to the religion, such as Uthman Danfodio's jihad in northern Nigeria during the 18th century. Some groups, such as the Hausa states, are believed to have worked to convert the Fulani settlers who had practiced a form of African traditional religion. Also, there were other important leaders who had also maintained a strong Muslim presence in West Africa and merged the religion with the political space. So these include the Kingdom of Mali and the Kingdom of Songhai, which were very famous examples. In both the kingdoms, Islam had a significant impact on both the political and social landscape. The example would be the leader of Mali, Mansa Musa, performing the Hajj pilgrimage, and it's one of the ways in which a prominent leader embraced the religion. When assessing the spread and establishment of the religion, it's important to note that this process occurred in what many scholars refer to as waves. So the first stage is what was referred to as the first containment stage, the second is the mixing stage, and the third was the reform stage. So under the containment stage, the early Muslims were the minority at the time, and they were separated from the practitioners of the traditional religion. While in the mixing stage, the African Muslims had incorporated various elements of the traditional religion into Islam and used this to shape their unique practice as a blend of both traditions. The final stage represented a series of reforms and initiatives to establish a Sunni Islam that adhered to the direct sources such as the Quran and Sunnah without any influence of the African religion, such as through the Almoravid reforms, who in the 11th century attempted to draw on the movement to restore the original Islamic practices to various Western states. Now, this reform led to one of the states, the Kingdom of Takrur in Senegal, being captured, and later its power diminished from the effect. So moving back on to Uthman Danfodio, who we mentioned earlier, Fodio was introduced to Islam by merchants during the trade for gold, and later was declared a jihad, or a holy sacred war, against the Hausa states. So Uthman Fodio justified the holy war given the corruptive practices of the Hausa states and was later successful in subjecting them. Uthman Danfodio's success and assertion of control is what scholars attribute as a catalyst that helped drive the spread of Islam in Nigeria. It is also important to note how these interactions shaped the cultural landscape and generally influenced the beliefs and practices of the people within the region. In analyzing the differences between the spread of Islam and Christianity in the continent, some scholars have argued that Islam was relatively more compatible with most African communities due to the fact that it was viewed as a religion for the working class. What this meant generally is that Islam's policies and beliefs, such as permitting the practices of polygamy, which was already practiced widely in many African communities, was well received. This, as well as other values, may have made it easier for the assimilation to occur. And we see a similar practice of religious syncretism, such as what happened in Christianity, where the merging occurred between various Islamic practices and African belief systems. So this happened in a number of different ways, such as adopting the Arabic language and script, or using charms or amulets, but then having Quranic verses and chapters on it. So there was further coexistence in terms of the traditional medicine and practitioners with Islamic beliefs as well. While some scholars have argued that the Islamic religion was relatively compatible with African beliefs and culture, it's also important to note the implications of the contact between the two religions. In some communities, with a small number of Muslims and a majority number of traditional religious followers, there was a landlord-tenant system mentioned earlier, wherein Muslims were allowed to practice Islamic identity while still engaging in traditional African religious ideals. So this system is what is believed to have fostered a general atmosphere of coexistence and influenced the culture, later leading on to the mixing and integration stages of Islam. However, the coexistence did not always last for long and was not always consistent. And there was an occurrence of a series of reforms and reform initiatives within African Muslim leaders and members which attempted to eradicate or remove the remnants of the African traditional religion from the practice of Islam. In the Songhai Empire, which had emerged following the decline of the Mali Empire, the Songhai ruler Sunni Ali in the 15th century imposed a number of harsh policies that persecuted the Muslims and scholars who had practiced the version of Islam that was combined with the African traditional beliefs. As we reach the end of the podcast now, I just want to finish with a few key notes to know. So overall, through a series of reforms over a long period of time, we can see some of the ways in which the spread and practice of Islam interacted with traditional beliefs in Africa. So here it's evident that the eventual spread and practice of Christianity and Islam both contributed to a gradual shift in the cultural identity of Africans that extended beyond the religious beliefs and towards the whole general political and economic structures. So through this podcast, we were able to discuss and look at how the evolution of religion across various communities within the African continent had occurred, and further how this distinct identity was maintained and established through various forms of Africanized Islam and Africanized Christianity, where we saw both the cultures and the beliefs were merged together. But at the end of the day, what happened is that there was a distinct form or a distinct culture that ended up coming from this emergence. All right, folks, that is all that I have to say today from the History Geeks podcast. We hope you enjoyed this overview of the religion and the evolution of religion, as well as how it further shaped and spread across the African continent. If you have any questions, you can leave a comment below. I'm your host, Khairun, and I'll see you next time in the next episode.